This episode of WDW Today is brought to you by Off to Neverland Travel, and they wanted me to mention two different things are happening right now. Obviously, you can still book all those great deals. Like, even some free dining is still available, so make sure to go to Neverland. Use that domain, gotoneverland.com, and you can make all your bookings, plan your next vacation with them, get with their magic makers. It's going to be great. Also, a handful of you so far, if not more than that, have reached out and said you want to become magic makers, and they're still looking for more qualified candidates. So use the website, gotoneverland.com.
Then go to our story tab, go down to the bottom, and there's a little link there you can click to become a magic maker.
That's right. Make your Disney love part of your career. Go to Neverland.com.
Give me a little intro there, Gomer.
Bringing the world to your world. This is WDW Today, coming to you from somewhere off property at the Laugh-O-Gram Studios, featuring Len Testa and the greatest band in podcasting, Off Kilter. Now here they are, Terry Weaver, the nature boy Will Haynes, and your host, Logan Seculo.
It's Wednesday, May 18th. I knew it, guys. May 18th, 2016, and this is episode 1512 of WDW Today. I'm Logan Seculo.
I'm Will Haynes.
I'm Terry Weaver.
And today, we have a great topic. See what we did? We put out in the Twitterverse. We want to hear what you guys want. On our Facebook groups, everything. You guys got a topic idea, throw it out to us. We got a ton of great responses in like the day. We sent it out late last night. We've had a ton of great responses, so much so that this is one of just a few that we're going to take.
You've done our work for like the next year of topics.
It's true.
Typically, we're like, hey, what topics can we do, guys? What can we do? And it's like now we have a go-to
list. We've got about 100, and a lot of these we will get to. Today's was sent in by Patrick Watts, I believe. Patrick Watts.
P-Dub.
P-Dub from our Nashville Facebook group. Remember, guys, we have location-based Facebook groups to help you connect with the local Disney community in your area. So that's Nashville, Orlando, and Chicago right now. We are happy to start more. If you guys reach out to me, let me know where you want to start one. We'll get you in touch. We'll make you the leader of that group. Will and Terry and I always communicate back and forth on there as well. Great way to do it. Great way to get involved, get people together. Chicago, we're coming for you next, too.
And we just saw our Chicago friends get together this last weekend at the Marty Sklar event. So we weren't even there, and they still got together and did their thing.
And that happens all the time. It's great to find your local Disney community. But today we're talking about the true must-dos at Walt Disney World. I know a lot of you stay at the resorts. You know Stacy. Stacy's been on this program before. Hey, look, Lou Mangiello is live right now. Sorry, Lou, not interested. he's live on Facebook. But what, Will? Will's face-palming.
I don't want to have to edit for content this episode.
Okay, I'm sorry. You can leave that in. Leave it in. I don't care. Lou's never going to hear it. He doesn't listen to any Disney podcasts.
Will gets a little upset over Lou.
No, I like Lou. I actually only listen to Lou.
You got to leave on this. I got nothing against him. He's been nice to us. Speaking of Stacy, who's in there giving you the must-dos of Walt Disney World. It's always essentially the e-ticket attractions, the headliner attractions. But Patrick said, hey, guys, why don't you throw out what your must-dos are, what you think are the true must-dos. And that's what we're going to do today. We're going to do a little round table. We've always talked about what our favorite attractions are and stuff, but I think this is a little bit different, what it could be. So let's see how it goes.
We're actually at a round table, too. So this is a round table, in the truest sense of the words.
So today, we're going to do those must-dos. And we're going to go through each park. We're each going to pick at least one attraction that are the must-dos at each theme park. That's Magic Kingdom, Hollywood Studios, Epcot, and Animal Kingdom. Why don't we start off? Where do you guys want to start? Will, you pick the first park.
I think we should save Magic Kingdom for the end. So actually, let's start with the first is the worst, Animal Kingdom.
Okay, Animal Kingdom.
Oh,
I know. I did that. That was a dagger in Terry's heart.
It's the worst.
So I'm going to start first and say
it's the worst.
Obviously, the must-do, aside from grabbing a rib at Flame Tree, is a single rib. Just get a rib.
Ah, rib. That's from the Tree of Life. That's how they tell the story.
A rib was taken from Adam.
Simba one rib.
Obviously, Simba one. Obviously, you've got to go on the safari. That is the quintessential thing to do at the Animal Kingdom. And I think when you get off to do the trek that comes, or you can go see all the extra animals and the bats and the various wildlifes.
I look forward to the nighttime one. That's next time I'm getting into Animal Kingdom is when I can do that sunset safari.
Yeah, sunset safari looks crazy cool.
Different than the sunset safari that Will and I go to here in Nashville, mm-hmm. which sadly coincides with our De Los Partes Festival this year.
Mm-hmm. Oh, does it really?
It does.
Last.
It does.
Well, okay. Guess I know where I'm going. Not to Disney.
It's canceled. No. All right. So, I think you can't go wrong with safari. Will, what do you think?
I knew Terry was going to say safari. Everyone's going to say safari.
Not me.
Well,
hot.
Well, here's an actually, that's why I threw that out. Because I decided I want something cooler. I think must do Finding Nemo the musical.
That was my choice.
I know. I love it.
It's great.
It's fantastic. It is a little slice of Broadway right there in Kissimmee, Florida.
It is. It's by far.
With puppets.
To me,
yeah,
they're Broadway puppets. Yeah, it was written by the people who wrote.
Yeah, I was about to say it's done by the Avenue Q people.
Those people actually did it.
Yeah, the Lopez's who did Frozen.
Yeah,
it's the same people.
That's and Book of Mormon. That's why it's fantastic.
It is.
So I would say it is definitely a must do. It is a must do.
I will say that to me is the quintessential, the best live show that you can see at Walt Disney World. To me, in my opinion, is Finding Nemo the musical. My second to that, obviously, Expedition Everest. Can't go wrong with Everest. It's I think it's probably my favorite thrill ride in Walt Disney World. It's just an amazing experience. Yes, it was better with the Yeti. We'll get into all that. But I'd still like the entire experience. A great ride, great story. I love that one. So Expedition Everest would be mine. That was my runner-up.
Speaking of the Yeti, isn't it time for our next T-shirt adventure with the
dead Yeti?
Dead Yetis.
We'll see.
I'm a dead Yeti, yeah. Never coming back to life.
We'll just kill
dead Yeti.
The dead Yetis were a 90s band.
Never coming back to life.
Yeah. Bart Scott drew us a dead Yeti logo from Ears of Steel.
It looks awesome, too.
It does. It looks like a Descendants kind of look. But dead Yeti, yeah. I still think it's probably my favorite. It's probably my favorite, if you want to say true, like, ride at Animal Kingdom.
Yeah, I went for something a little bit different with the show, and I actually knew you were probably going to say it, too.
Any must-don'ts at the Animal Kingdom?
The safari. Just kidding. Everyone's going to do the safari.
Yeah.
So that's the thing.
Yeah, exactly.
You know you're going to do the safari, because that is kind of their e-ticket attraction. So.
All right. No must-don'ts?
What's that? The ride that spins.
Primeval World.
Primeval World, yeah.
I have a love-hate with it.
Yeah.
You know, I don't spend enough time in Animal Kingdom. If we have, like, park hopper, I don't go to Animal Kingdom unless we have a park hopper. And so I go in, I do the couple must-do rides, and I get out. I don't spend a lot of time there.
Must-do is Rainforest Cafe. All right.
Which, actually, Logan and I probably went to when Animal Kingdom first opened.
Yeah.
Our thing was, hey, let's go hit up the Rainforest Cafe, the RFC for lunch, and then go do a little tour around the park.
Yeah, that's when Animal Kingdom was hot, brand new.
Now it's just
I was
hot
at,
and brand old.
I was at the Rainforest Cafe here in Nashville for dinner last night. So
Chitarita.
Exactly, and had a lovely meal.
Got them bones?
I did. They're mojo bones now.
Yeah, they used to be called bones.
I did the heart attack special, which is steak, ribs, and coconut shrimp with fries and an awesome appetizer.
What are you doing to yourself, man? Did you get that stupid lava cake at the end, too?
I did not. I got a,
good,
I got a blizzard from Dairy Queen.
You what? Got a what?
A blizzard from Dairy Queen. It was one of those nights. All right. Dare you want to pick the next park?
Let's go to the studios.
Okay.
Because why not?
In the studios.
Now, go ahead. Why don't you start?
I'll start it. I'll lead it because he led in the last one. Okay. I picked Animal Kingdom. I would say, and I'm... I was torn. I know someone else is going to say this, so I'm going with actually my runner-up. I think Toy Story Mania is a must-do. I love Toy Story Mania. It's super fun. Every time you ride it, it's a different experience because it's a game. You're playing a game. I love Toy Story Mania. I know what everyone else is going to say, but I stick with Toy Story Mania. Ride the ride.
So I've got a tip about Toy Story Midway Mania, and that is if you were there and for some reason you didn't get one of those Fast Pass pluses, and I would highly recommend that you save Toy Story Midway Mania for your last ride and do it right before close. If it's an option, sometimes with fireworks, that's not
close
an option.
Close it down, yeah, with Star Wars, yeah.
So they haven't started the new show as of yet. So I don't know what exactly that's going to look like, but I always like to ride that ride right before park closure.
It's always very confusing what the actual name of the ride is.
It's Toy Story Midway Mania.
Unless you go to the Walt Disney World website.
What are they calling it there?
Toy Story Mania.
Yeah, what I call it. The right name.
You never know. It just depends. In California, it's definitely Midway Mania.
Because it's on the mid.
But hey, we all know that Terry really only goes to Disneyland. He's actually a hater about the world.
Okay, so you picked Toy Story Mania. Then Terry, what do you got?
Well, my must-do at Hollywood Studios, if I don't do anything at Hollywood Studios, it's going to be...
Are you getting a peanut butter,
getting a peanut butter and jelly shake at Primetime Cafe. But if we're talking about attractions,
yeah,
I'm going to go off script here, and just because of how fantastic the redo is.
Did you write this down?
No. Okay. But
because I'm seeing if you're actually going off script.
But there's obvious choices, and this probably isn't one of them. For me right now, I can't leave the park without doing that Star Tours.
Yeah. Star Tours is probably my
my list. Since the, you know.
How's that off script? I feel like it's the best ride in the park.
Yeah, I disagree with that. It was probably my number one.
I mean, Stacy would probably tell us that it's Rock and Roller Coaster. And yes.
It's a great ride.
I love the Rock and Roller Coaster. And there for a while, it seemed like I knew half the people that were on the posters on the ride. it's a roller coaster. And that's great. But there's just something about. I would almost just go walk the queue of Star Tours.
Before Riker was tall enough, I used to ask if they would let us, and very rarely would they let us, because I knew he would love just seeing. That was probably half the fun when we went there, was he loved seeing 3PO and R2 and Admiral Akbar, and loved that whole setup. And he didn't really care about the ride now. He loves the ride. He every day almost talks about when Darth Vader takes. He's like, remember when Darth Vader took control of my ship and pushed us away? It's like, yeah, buddy. He's like, yeah. And then, is that real? That always happens.
I loved the night we got to go for the soft launch, I guess it was called. It was a media event.
Yeah, it was the grand opening was the next day of Star Tours.
So we went, and it started at midnight, and we got to go, and we rode that ride probably 15 times in
a
row.
At least over 10.
We would just get off the ride, go jump back in line, and run through the line and try to get on as quick as possible. It was
so much
fun.
We saw every option that night that you could have.
And we're in a publicity photo, too.
Yeah, we need to post that photo because I think that photo might be one of the greatest photos.
It's awesome. I'll find it.
Because it's like you guys and Chewbacca.
Yeah, it was awesome. That was also the coolest thing about that night was that you had all
those characters. There were characters on the ride with you. It was great. So I did have that. That was technically my first, but I knew that it was going to be covered.
I think it was all of our first. Then I will throw in then for my, since we already mentioned Rock Roller Coaster, I will go with we don't know what the nighttime Star Wars show is, and I feel like that's going to be my number one. But until then, I'm going to go with the Great Movie Ride. I think it's I have obviously some personal connections to it, but I think it's also a great introduction to what the park maybe was supposed to be. I still feel like it kind of is, a celebration of film, and I'm going to go with that. I'm going to think the Great Movie Ride is a near perfect attraction for all ages. So I really like it.
Would agree with that.
What do we think the name of the park is going to be moving forward?
When they change the name?
They change the name.
Well, we talked about that a few weeks ago. I feel like it's going to be some sort of it's going to be a variation of the Hollywood Studios.
Yeah, something
thing.
Hollywood so, something.
Yeah.
Hollywood. Studios, Disney Pixar Studios, kind of.
Maybe.
I don't think they'll do
that. I think they're going to drop the name Studios. I think that's the main thing. So I think it'll be Disney's Hollywood Experience Adventure. California, Disney's California Adventure. Yeah. There you go. That's what it needs to be. All right. Moving on then. Let's head over to Epcot.
Yeah.
We're going to keep Magic Kingdom as the grand finale.
Yeah.
We'll do a recap.
I do want to say one thing.
We'll do a recap at the end of this too, all of the attractions.
Any cast members that work on Rock and Roller Coaster, I lost an Auburn University baseball cap there. If you could return that, please.
When was that?
8 years ago. Flew off my head. Yeah. But was one of my favorite caps. Had it all through college.
And now it's part of the mouse.
Yeah.
Or it probably went in the cast store.
That's why I'm asking a cast member.
There's a cast member who bought your cap for a quarter, probably.
Yeah.
All right, quarter cap.
That feels like that cast member store reference that Terry just made. We're going to get a lot of that's not true. That doesn't exist. I don't know. We're just going to get those tweets.
Does it exist?
Yeah, there's a place where I forgot what the name
is. It does exist.
There's a place
where
they
Terry
sell.
Says it exists. I'm just saying we're probably.
There's a place where they sell
Lost and Found
like merchandise, items. And then there's a place where they sell just random.
Like the thrift store of Disney World.
Kind of, yeah.
All right.
It may not have been. It may have been a cast member that's just been raiding the Lost and Found and opened up a place on property
that's
with a
how
bunch of stuff.
Yeah, I've never been there. I did go to the Universal store a few times, but all right, let's take it over to. The experiment, some people love the experimental prototype.
Community of community.
No, Terry doesn't listen to the show.
I know. Which the best part of that is we've said that in a couple episodes now that he hasn't been a part of, and he never responded.
The experimental prototype community of community. I know, Will. This is your baby.
So
when you get so mad that you want to roar, take a deep breath. And count to four.
I have two versions of the thing to do. Well, I guess I'm not gonna be rude and take two things. And hopefully one of you cover it. If not, I'll come back.
Okay.
Mine is for the 21 plus crowd. I think the thing to do is at some point take an entire day and drink around the world. Go experience the culture and a nice adult beverage in each one of the countries at Epcot. Do it responsibly.
Yep.
Make sure you have plenty of time.
Plenty of time.
Eat food along the way. Make sure that you're doing that stuff and see the shows and do that stuff. Yeah. But really take a day and make the world showcase a park experience and just go through all of them. Talk to the people that work in the country. They will tell you about the food and the culture because they are from those countries. And it's, I don't know, I've done it multiple times and it is such a fantastic experience. You really don't feel like you're in a theme park, mainly because you don't know quite where you are.
So my question for you, Will, is do you start the same direction or do you start going different ways just so you remember different parts of the trip?
Here's the reason. You always start in Mexico because you don't want to end on tequila.
Yeah.
That's the answer. You would much rather end on a Labatt Blue in Canada that you can take a sip of and dump out and not feel bad about than you would starting in Canada and getting to Mexico and missing out on the fine things at Cava.
Speaking of which, in your podcast, there's a new, or they offer now a new Labatt bourbon cask.
I have not had that.
Or it's made in a bourbon cask.
It's probably the age it.
I'll Google it real quick.
Yeah, because they have like the Kentucky bourbon barrel beers. Uh-huh. That's like an American version. Yeah.
So just a tip. They have that in the new Canada bar that's inside of the outpost.
We should do a crossover episode with my new podcast and WDW Today where we talk about whiskey at Disney.
Disney, take me home.
I'll have you and Terry on the podcast to talk
about. Sounds good, yeah.
Grease, your co-host.
Well, Grease may not have much to offer, but he typically doesn't. So,
all right. So, Terry, what about you?
Man, I hate Epcot. No, I love Epcot. Just, I think what's awesome about Epcot is just the fact of how unique it is from all the other parks that you can experience the entire world. The attractions aren't always like, I wouldn't say the attractions are why you go to Epcot. I mean, Soarin' is fantastic. But you also have that at California Adventure.
I think the definition of attraction is different at Epcot. Yeah. Like, it's a cultural experience.
The whole place is,
yeah,
you know, an art installation, basically.
So do you not have one?
Oh,
come on.
Mission Space.
What?
Space is your must-do. I haven't done Mission Space.
That is my must-don't ever do Mission Space. It's ridiculous.
Why?
I've never left Mission Space. And I'll say, I've done it probably a couple dozen times. I've never left Mission Space and not had my day ruined.
You're less likely to get sick drinking around the world.
Oh, I 100%
than riding Mission Space one time.
It was off the
I've never been sick on that ride.
Well, then you have a very high top.
Your equilibrium is phantasmic.
Oh. I do the
hardcore, the orange.
Hardcore.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It will mess my head up so bad for the whole day, and I don't.
And it's not even that you're like sick or vertigo. It's just you feel a little off.
Yeah. For the rest of the day.
Yeah.
I will say it's one of the most amazing experiences you're going to have when it comes out, but it's not worth the risk. I hate it with a passion for that reason. I will do it if I'm with a group. This person's never done it. If not, sorry. Good luck, bro. Have fun. This conversation came up before the old WDW Today. I don't think, and this is a statement I never make because I don't believe that, I don't like the statements of this is not what Walt would have wanted and all this, and a lot of times it's money related. This is not how I feel. I don't think that is a ride that should be in the parks. I don't feel like it's appropriate for families of all ages or of ages, even of a height ages. I think it's too extreme for a Disney park. That's just my thought.
Pro tip. Do not ride Mission Space after drinking around the world.
Guaranteed.
So if you start in Mexico and end in Mission Space, don't do it.
Yeah. If you have a ride that has to have vomit bags in the car with you all the time, to me, that's a problem. And look, I know nothing against the Imagineers at Madix. I think it's an unbelievable experience.
For me, what makes it must do is this. When I look at an attraction, I think back to what I experienced the very first time I rode it. And that ride absolutely blew my mind. I didn't think it was even possible what I experienced.
Yeah, it blows our mind too. So bad that we can't get right the rest of the day. Another thing about that is this is why I know I can never have LASIK. Like, I wear contacts, I wear glasses for those of you that just hear me and don't know me.
He's got long, flowing blonde hair.
Blonde locks.
He's like Thor with glasses.
Nerd Thor.
That'd be a great cosplay, by the way, Nerd Thor.
I know I can never get LASIK because I'm always afraid, even though I know it's not true, but I know when they're like, don't move your eyes, I'll move it and it'll slice my eye laser. It'll ruin me forever. I'll go blind. It's the same thing with Mission Space, and it reiterates that for me because they're like, don't look sideways. I can't help it. I'm like, eyes looking over. Oh, gosh, I'm feeling a little queasy. Can't do LASIK because Mission Space messes with me so bad.
And the story with that is, I don't know if it's necessarily even true, but I remember when it happened, this is what was headed, because I was living around there when that opened, was that all the executives rode Mission Space and all were like looking at each other like, man, this is amazing. They all were like staring at each other like, can you believe this? You know? And then they all got off and immediately vomited, everyone, because the way you're messes with your equilibrium so much.
Because technically you're spinning, and if you turn your head, you're moving in the opposite direction.
Yeah. So you're spinning in extreme velocity that, you know, you don't feel like you're spinning, but it's just the truth. Your body still does.
Yeah.
All right. So I disagree with Terry in it would be my must don't of the entire Walt Disney World.
Wow.
Maybe of ever, like Logan's like, should I go into like Contra controlled Columbia or ride Mission Space? You know what? Paramilitary drug runners are kind of fine with me compared to this.
So
put Mission Space one step above. I will do it. I just very much dislike it. I was like that way for Tower of Terror for a while too, because I don't like dropping feelings. But I've come around on that one because I love the ride portion of Tower of Terror so much.
I've got a proposition for you, Logan. You drink around the world, then ride Mission Space, and I will do that stupid Frozen ride that they're putting in.
Can we tape both sides?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Tape both sides.
You have to. Well, okay. There's got to be an extra element to yours. But
I'll drink around the world backwards. Whoa. That's
violent.
Blasphemy.
All right. Let's do it. Yeah. Counterclockwise, right? Or is that? Yeah. Counterclockwise.
Counterclockwise.
Yeah. All right. So my Epcot would be Spaceship Earth. Same reason, kind of. I feel like with Great Movie Ride, you can't go wrong with Spaceship Earth. I feel like Spaceship Earth is one that blew my mind as a kid. You go to space, you get to see all through time. This newest update is not necessarily my favorite, but I also know why they can't change it to be what it was because technology moves so fast. But I love Spaceship Earth. It's my 100% of the time I go to Epcot, I'd say it's the attraction that I do each and every time.
When I was a kid, when I first moved to Orlando as a kid, I was 5 years old. And it was actually like when we went down as a family to look at Orlando before we actually moved.
Right.
We went to Disney World in my first time, and I'd been to Disneyland, and I loved that. But the only thing I cared about was being inside that Epcot ball. That's the only, like, I was like, yeah, I want to ride all these rides. It's fun. But can we actually go inside that? And we could. And that's exactly what you said. As a child, that blew my mind. The animatronics, the story is great. But I'm like, the entire time, like, I'm inside that thing. I'm inside the giant silver ball.
Yeah, and when you get up to the top, and that whole, you know, when you see space and you see Earth from space, you know, I'll be honest, that until like probably, let's say 10 years ago, I didn't realize, like, oh, I get it now, Spaceship Earth. Like, clicked. And then also, I didn't realize till right then that I'm at the top of the ball. Like, in my head, like, I wasn't thinking about that. And then when you start thinking about that, you're right. It's one of the few ride buildings you get to see. You know, you see it. You see the whole structure. Mm-hmm. It's right there in the middle of it. You know, you go to Haunted Mansion, you don't really see where you're going. You're actually going in a building behind or pirates. You know.
It's almost better that you not know that.
Right, but Epcot, it's more, when you see Spaceship Earth and then you experience it.
Which is kind of what Terry said about Epcot being kind of like an art installation. The fact that you're inside the icon, like you walk through Cinderella's castle and they have the restaurant and they have those things, but it's still not the same. You can't experience the castle really other than getting your photo with the icon. Yeah. This is completely different.
Yep, I 100% agree. That's mine. Is Spaceship Earth is my 100%. Any must-don'ts? I know my must-don't or any secondary
attractions. My secondary one, which was not mentioned, I actually thought Terry was going to say it, is the Grand Fiesta Tour featuring the Three Caballeros.
That was my number two as well.
So I love that ride. It's fantastic. I think it's a better Small World.
Oh.
Which is blaspheming.
It is. But okay, let's. I do love it, though.
It's a fun.
There's nothing better in the world than having a margarita and then getting on that ride and going,
there's
nothing
better in the world than
the Mexico Pavilion.
Yeah, to be honest.
Okay, yeah, I could spend a half a day in the Mexico Pavilion alone. All right, let's take it to the streets. The streets of Main Streets. That sounded like I planned that. I didn't. Let's go over to wrap it up with the Magic Kingdom.
I'll start, MK. Okay. Or did I start the last one?
It doesn't matter. Go ahead.
I'm diverting from, neither of you are going to say this, but it's a ride I've always loved as a kid. It's no one is going to agree with me on this, but I think a must do is Big Thunder Mountain. I know I said in an earlier show that I said a must do is Pirates. I love Pirates, but I think Big Thunder Mountain doesn't get enough credit for what a fun ride it is. It is one of the most pure thrill rides. I love the Western theme.
It is the wildest ride in the wilderness, after all.
Yeah, exactly.
I was actually leaning.
I love Big Thunder Mountain.
As I was thinking about Magic Kingdom just a second ago, I was thinking, someone posted a picture last night. They were Big Thunder at night. And for me, there's nothing better than Big Thunder at night. If you can be there during extra magic hours.
Yeah.
It's just a great ride.
I love it.
Now I've got to think of another ride because I think that was going to be my choice today.
Fair enough.
I love the work of the one and only Tony Baxter, and that is some of his finest work. So go ahead.
I am going with... What? Will's shaking his hand.
You're going with It's a Small World.
I'm going with It's a Small World. Right. Is my attraction that I say is a must-do. Classic attraction, straight from the World's Fair. I guess it's a remake from the one that's straight from the World's Fair, but still... classic Disney attraction. I think it's amazing and a great experience to get. When I get in that boat, I get very happy and I really enjoy that entire experience of It's a Small World.
16 minutes of nap time.
Well, and I mean nap time. I really love it. It's
peaceful.
It's the opposite of peaceful in nap time.
It's
for me.
An emotional experience. You know, I think the lyrics are beautiful. I mean, I'm not joking. Keep laughing. That's fine. I think it's a call for peace and world peace. And I really I love It's a Small World. It's my favorite. It's to me, when you think of Walt Disney World, that's the attraction that I think appears in a lot of people's heads. And I think there's a reason for that.
And I agree. I actually love the ride. I was giving you a hard time, and I made the joke about the Three Caballeros.
I love that one too. It's fine.
But I do love the concept of it. It is beautiful, not just the music. It's a beautiful ride. The miniatures that are in there.
Yeah, the Mary Blair and the Alice Davis work. It's just top notch.
It is very good. And it's oddly therapeutic because it does take you a little bit out of the natural Disney feeling of go, 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 rush, rush, rush. And it is just a calm, you're in the water, which is therapeutic to me, even if it is just a ride, you're in a boat, you get to see all the music and the way it's interacting. I don't know. It is beautiful. I agree with that.
Yeah. And in a time where we deal with a lot of stuff in the world, negativity or terrorism or these things that we talk about, threats that Disney has to up security, it's a great call to peace. A worldwide thing. It's just my thoughts. I know a lot of people don't see it that way, but that's how I see it. So I go with It's a Small World.
And I think it's a ride that will probably never go away.
No, I don't think so. It'll be there. It'll be in every Walt Disney World experience ever. I don't know if it's Shanghai, but I don't know if Shanghai's for It's a Small World.
I'm going to go with the obvious for myself then, and then I'll go Dumbo. Just because for the same reason.
Yeah, I could see that.
For the same reasons that you say It's a Small World, there's just something about, you know, I think what the Magic Kingdom always has and always will be is a sense of nostalgia, a sense of childlike wonder, a sense of, you know, when you first got on, you know, unlike when you first got on Mars, you know, you nearly lost your lunch. But when you first got on those rides, those nostalgic rides, Dumbo, It's a Small World, it just takes you back to those moments and those places. And so, Yeah, and I love the whole ride experience at the Magic Kingdom with the double Dumbos now, and the queue is fantastic. And the
I wanted to add to that is that I think one of the complaints I have a lot of times on this show is that they took Mr. Toad away, and I feel like what they did with Dumbo by adding to it and redoing the queue perfected it in a way. Yeah. You know, like it refreshed it enough that it's, I mean, it's a from day one has been there kind of thing. So it would be offensive to take it away to a lot of fans. But I like that they were able to update it, add to it, and make it even a bigger part of the park. And it's kind of that childlike wonder that you were talking about that is what makes Disney so beautiful to many of us. It's just fun. Like, it's the only way to describe a ride like that is just, it's fun. Yeah. It's not like, well, technically, it is very complex, and, like, you know, there's, you're in this room and it's 3D, and then this room you're on a track, and it's half dark ride, half, like, outside. You know, it's just a fun ride
yeah.
that was the brainchild of Mr. Disney himself and his team of Imagineers. That's what they wanted the park to be. So I think that is a very good answer of it's a must-do because it encapsulates the spirit of the Magic Kingdom.
And talking about the spirit of the Magic Kingdom, the one thing that I love seeing on my feed more than anything else is that moment when people stop at the hub and pause and look at the park and take their picture in front of the castle and admire of what the Magic Kingdom represents, of that place where we can all think about what Walt created and what, you know, what the park still is today and the fact that it is changing. Unfortunately, Mr. Toad... it's no longer with us, but there are new things coming and there's new exciting things happening. And
I would say that, yeah, I feel the same way about Magic Kingdom. I'd say there's very little musts and don'ts in the Magic Kingdom experience at all. It's a great, maybe that old Stitch. People don't like that one. I actually like that one. So you know what? I don't love it. I don't go every time, but I'll enjoy it. Magic Kingdom. I say it's a good choice. Obviously, you know, you got to do Space Mountain. You got to do Splash Mountain. Those are all amazing. Splash Mountain would probably be my number two for...
That's just because we're old Joel Chandler Harris fans.
I just like it because it's another very long ride in a boat. I'm for extended rides in boats.
I know. It's peaceful, man.
That's why I'm mad the Jaws is gone because, you know, the last of that kind over there. So, all right. I think we got good must-dos.
Boat rides are Logan's safe
place. I do.
Place.
I like them. Any other thoughts before we... wrap it up and take it to Lynn.
Don't go to California. Ever. Drought. The rides are terrible over there. I heard a rumor that Walt Disney had nothing to do with Disneyland.
That's
is that
right.
true?
I think that's...
is that an accurate statement?
It's one of those.
Yeah.
That's something like that. He was from Florida. People don't know that.
He was born from an alligator in the swamp.
Which ties in perfectly with De Las Partas in Claremont, Florida. Good plug there. Good segue. Which we'll be doing September 30th. Come on out. See some of your favorite bands from Disney Park history. Experience live podcast. So much more over at De Las Partas. It's going to be dlpfest.com. Tickets available now. Off Kilter, Mulch, Sweat, and Shears. So many other great. The Dream Finder. And we may be adding some more here soon. We just added, hey, Bart Scott, Mr. Ears of Steel himself is coming out. A lot of guys like that are going to be at the show. Lots of great media appearances. So check that out, dlpfest.com. All right, let's move on to Listener Questions with Lynn. We'll be right back. All right, let's take a break now for a moment. We're going to talk. We talked to you last week about this. We're going to tell you about this week, too. Will, Terry, and I all have other podcasts that we'd like to talk about, things that are maybe a little off topic, a little different, and more coming soon as we grow this Laugh-O-Gram Studios, Laugh-O-Gram Podcast Network. We want you to be along the ride with us. So we went with Will first last time. So let's go to Mr. Weaver.
Yeah, I host a podcast since we've been talking about Dumbo in this episode called Making Elephants Fly. And it is a podcast where I interview leaders and creatives and different people. In the past, I've interviewed Lee Cockrell, who was the vice president of Walt Disney World, and all kinds of creatives, and my friend McNair Wilson, who's a Disney Imagineer. That's an episode I know you guys would love. You can go to terryweaver.com/podcast. It tells you how to subscribe. You can listen there, and you can subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or there's the RSS feed there.
I want to thank everybody that reached out to me. Got some very kind feedback from WEW Today listeners last week who tried out the podcast. PODCASK. It's hosted by me and my buddy The Grease. It's an unpretentious conversation about bourbon and whiskey and the finer side of adult beverages.
You said that very pretentiously.
I know. I did that on purpose. So really, it's just us having a conversation. We don't know a lot. We're learning more. I think it's just a fun ride. You can check it out at whiskeypodcask.com.
Walt loved a good Scotch Mist.
So. Well, we're gonna bring some Scotch people on soon. So
there you go. Have Walt on. All right. So in my podcast is called Scare Zone, Halloween Horror Nights podcast. Now you may be saying, okay, I can get behind it. An elephant podcast, I can get behind old whiskey podcast, but don't be scaring me, Logan. On that one, we talk about Universal Orlando's Halloween Horror Nights. It's not a scary podcast necessarily when it comes to tone. Yeah, the music is a little spooky, but actually the three hosts of us, we're not big horror fans. We're big fans of Halloween Horror Nights. So we kind of break down in similar fashion what we do here. You know, news, commentary, interviews about Halloween Horror Nights. So much happens. It's an amazing experience. You haven't been over there. If you're into horror at all, if you're just into honest experience, great. Amazing theme park work that's temporary. It's an awesome experience. We go and interview great people. We just had on Jason Sorrell, who, like I said last week, was instrumental. He was the guy that put the Leota tombstone out front of the Haunted Mansion. He was a Disney Imagineer, wrote the Haunted Mansion book, but also was a Halloween Horror Nights vet. We also have on coming up soon a lot of great people. John Paul Gertz, you may know him from some of his work at Nickelodeon that he's doing now with the SpongeBob musical coming to Broadway. Also a Halloween Horror Nights alum. It's a good show. I hope you guys like it. It's pretty fun. You can find it at scarezone.com or just find it on iTunes or Stitcher or however you get your podcasts. And back to the show.
It's time for listener questions with Lynn.
All right, you heard just that jingle right there, and you know what that means. It's time for listener questions with Lynn. Lynn, welcome back.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Oh, yes. Well, we couldn't have done it without you, literally.
It's called Questions with Lynn for a reason.
And so. I don't know if this podcast would have happened originally without you, so I'm going to say, I don't think we can – you don't need to thank us. We can thank you. A lot of comments. This is something interesting. Most of our questions now come in through Facebook and Twitter. Very few come in through that email address with 5,000 spam messages. I checked it today. There had only been one message in since about 7 days ago and about 800 spam messages. So here's what I'm going to say, folks. You can sure send emails in. That's totally fine. But if you want it read quickly on the air, put it in on Facebook. Every time that Lynn comes on, we do a post with a picture of Lynn or a cartoon of Lynn or something. Put a comment in there. Send us a message, a tweet. Often when we do those requests for questions, those get answered the quickest just because there's so many questions that now come in. These are whittled down and we have tons of questions. So let's get going. And that's maybe why we don't have as long of questions as they used to.
Yeah.
And some may say that's good.
Unless you're our uncle from Nigeria. That guy is always emailing us. I don't know.
I mean, I send him money and I send him money and I send him money and it's never enough. Never.
Western Union has got a great business plan right now. Just keep on sending the money back to Nigeria.
It's the same way you can pay King Features. It's the only way you can. That's a whole nother story. All right, let's move on. Let's go to our first question of the day. Let's go to Brian Hurahan. Who wants to take this?
Well, since you read his name Hurahan. And everything, how about you go ahead and
Hurahan.
Read
all right, so this one's a quick one. Favorite table service, quick service snack at all of Walt Disney World? Now, that's obviously a lot, but we'll try to take it. Who wants to answer first? Lynn, you got a favorite table service, quick service, and snack?
I will go with, I always say it, Jico for table service. Quick service, I like Tangerine Cafe in Morocco.
All right.
Snack.
Strong choice.
A snack, a good double espresso, a doppio at Starbucks.
There you go.
I will go ahead and say, since Lynn took my quick service at Tangerine Cafe, I'm going to say Marrakesh because it's so unique. So I'll stay in Morocco my table service will be Marrakesh.
Morocco 2, rest of world 0.
Exactly. Yeah. And for quick service, I'll probably say, I don't know. I like the barbecue place in Flame Tree Barbecue in Animal Kingdom. And for snack, Tipsy Ducks in Love at the
Drink
Cart. It's a snack for me. Tipsy Ducks in Love as a snack, because it's like a, it's a frozen drink, so it's kind of like a dessert.
You were using a snack plan.
But let me tell you where it is. It's in the China Pavilion at the little drink cart, so in Epcot.
But wait, you were using the meal
what
plan.
What is this drink?
Tipsy Ducks in Love is a... It has bourbon in it. It has
ice cream.
It's like a, it's like kind of like a frosty
it.
With.
Hopefully they still have it.
They do.
It's an alcoholic frosty.
Kind of, yeah.
Kind of.
It kind of looks like a frappuccino.
Yeah.
But it is. It's here you go. Creamy cold tea. Tea and coffee combo blended with bourbon whiskey and chocolate.
Yeah. It's delicious.
For $8.50. $5.50 non-alcoholic, but who's ordering that? That just sounds gross.
Yeah. spring the extra $3 for the bourbon mix in. And
if you're drinking around the world, that's round three. So it's a good nice base.
And you if you get a brain freeze from it too. So.
Sweet.
Mr. Weaver.
Table service. I think I'll go California Grill just because it's a special place with view of the fireworks. Snack, I'll go traditional. I'll go Mickey Ear.
Mickey Ears?
Yeah, the Mickey Ear. You know, the
ice cream
the
bar.
Ice cream bar. Yeah.
Okay, because I thought it would be like a pig's ear.
Like a pig's ear.
Like a dog chew toy?
Yeah. Like, I was like, I've never heard anyone refer to that as a Mickey Ear. Like, I'm sorry, that's the first time that's ever been said.
Well, but it's a Mickey Ear Bar. I don't know.
Yeah, that's I think that's what it's called.
It's just a Mickey Ice Cream Bar. I don't think there's Mickey Ear. No one's called it a Mickey. I mean, one ear.
I call it that.
That's just a circle.
The Mickey Ears ice cream. Moving on. Terry, what's your favorite quick service?
I definitely like the other two that you guys have mentioned are probably mine as well. Tangerine and Flame Tree are both solid choices. I'm trying to think if there's another one that I should be thinking of, but I just can't think of one right now.
All right. I will go with table service La Cellier. It's my favorite. Always will be, probably, unless it just gets horrible. But even when it's not at its peak, it's still really good. I love the experience. La Cellier in Epcot. Canada Pavilion, and they got that new Canada bar at the Outpost, which is just like a pop-up bar, but still can't wait to try it out. Quick service, I'm going to go with Tangerine Cafe as well, so let's just call that as the winner here.
Yeah.
And snack, I like the ice cream sandwiches. I said that last week, and I'll stick to it.
I'll say the one thing I'm looking forward to the most is the poutine place at Disney Springs.
Reviews, though.
Oh, yeah?
I was reading some mixed reviews yesterday, but it does sound good. I mean, I love poutine.
I saw the
poutine at old La Cellier is top.
Mixed review poutine is not something you want to try. Like,
so
you want it to be great if you're going for poutine.
I saw some folks from England that liked it, so that was other.
Yeah, have you tried British food?
Yeah. Yeah, that's like the worst thing you can just say. I mean, look, British food's got much better, but that's like you just fell right into that one. Yeah. Len, is anyone? I'm sure you had guys out there at the grand opening of Springs, the new Springs, part two of Springs, which looks beautiful. But any, while we're on it, any good reviews? Anything that popped out while people were reviewing there?
So they're all pretty solid. We just actually had a blog post today that reviewed the new burger place, the poutine fries, and then Morimoto street food window. All of them were pretty solid, if you know, unspectacular. The big thing that amazed me is the new burger place. A side of fries is $5 for a small fry.
Very nice.
And $8 for a large fry. That's a lot of potatoes, man.
Yeah. What's the difference in these
pictures? They look huge.
Is it like 3 pounds of fries for a large? Like how many fries you get?
I'll show you
a
picture. No, it's not huge.
No, it's not the like for $5. It's not the size of a McDonald's large fry.
Jeez.
Yeah, it's not like the Five Guys comes in a barrel thing.
Yeah.
Now, to be fair, they're saying that the process by which they make these fries takes 3 days.
I doubt that.
Okay. Do we really need that?
Is it an individual person?
Right? I like McDonald's fries. There's nothing wrong with McDonald's fries.
McDonald's fries is the industry standard of greatness.
Yeah, that's a pinnacle.
So if it takes you 3 days, you're doing it wrong.
Yeah, you definitely are doing it wrong.
Speaking of snack, that used to be my favorite quick service.
McDonald's fries?
Because if you could get the McDonald's fries in the park and avoid the rest of McDonald's,
yeah,
it was the best.
I liked it, but then it was just so hot. Typically, I'm there and feel like I'm like eating sweat. Sweat and salt. Like, it's just like, oh, there's something about it. Like, I love the idea, and I would get them, and I'd be like, what am I doing to myself? It's like a hot churro. I love a good hot churro, though.
A hot churro is a churro, Logan.
Yes, but I would say this. Most churros
are cold when you get them.
Are rock solid.
Yeah, old stale churro is the...
Are crunch crazy. Yeah.
You know who doesn't have good churros? Costco. Terrible churros.
You know, I wouldn't have thought otherwise.
You know what is delicious? Churro ice cream from Jenny Splendid.
Very true. Mm. You know what also was good is that they used to have in that old, like, I don't remember what it's called now. It was like an outlet mall type thing. It was like a rundown mall. At the end of I Drive, it has a Bass Pro Shop in it. They used to have a churro.
There's a doubt.
Yeah, it's horrible. But they used to have a churro food court restaurant.
All they served is churros?
All churros, different kinds.
Churro
different
sandwich?
Toppings. All churros. I'm burping right now. Think about it.
Strawberry
all churros all the time. All right, let's.
That's enough on Brian's the shortest question.
Got the longest answer.
Most,
all right.
About 10 minutes.
All right,
who's taking? I'll take the next question from Kathy Ngo. Ngo. Okay. I don't know how to pronounce that last
name. NGO?
Oh, non-government organization.
Yes, there cool. you go. All right.
All right. So we all know that an afternoon break is great if you have a good reason not to take one, like you're only in the parks until you get too cranky and then you're going home to your actual house. What's your best in-park strategy for getting a timeout? We usually go with a table service lunch and something like Hall of Presidents / Ellen's Energy Adventures. What other ideas do you have? So essentially, if you're not going to take a mid-afternoon break because you're a local or you think that you're above that, what's the best way to settle down, relax a little bit in the middle of the day?
Lynn, why don't you take us there, Skitch?
You know, in the Magic Kingdom, I like the seating over on Tom Sawyer Island by Aunt Polly's, which isn't All right. open anymore, sadly, but you can go there, relax, even take a nap without fear of, you know, anyone bothering you. And it's shaded, it's covered as well. The downside is you've got that Liberty Bell riverboat
yep.
circling every 12 minutes or so. In the other parks, it's kind of tricky. Epcot, I can't think of anywhere good to relax in Epcot anymore for a long period of time. There's always the American Adventure where you can nap for half an hour or so.
Mexico Pavilion.
Oh, right. There's that bench right as you walk in. That's pretty spectacular.
Yeah, you could sit there or you can just go into Cava.
Loud, though.
Hang out there for a while. It's relaxing to me.
Yeah, it is.
You've chilled in the land before at those, you know, in those little quick service.
Or the ride.
Oh, right.
With the land.
Living with the land, yeah.
Yeah. Or the ride. Or Sunshine Seasons, yeah. Or Circle of Life.
Circle of Life, I was going to say. That's, it came back, right? We even kind of reported that. Circle of Life reopened?
Circle of Life's back, yeah. For now.
So I think those are good options. Anything else? Anything spectacular?
You know, if you're in the Magic Kingdom, you could also go over to the Grand Floridian, take a boat, or walk over
yeah,
to
that's a good point.
The Contemporary, and especially the conference floors. Nobody's ever in
there. Oh, there's no, yeah. Yeah, true. No one ever there. A fun story. My brother-in-law fell asleep on Tom Sawyer Island, what you said, and woke up, and it was about 10 minutes after park closed, and he's like, I'm just going to hang out. And he was like,
no, really? What happened?
And nothing happened. 45 minutes later, about, I think he said, like an hour and a half outside of the time, he's like, they were quickly escorted out.
How did they get off the island?
I didn't ask. I'll text him right now and ask how they got off the island. But he said that the security got him off the island. I'm not sure how. He said they didn't. They definitely check every bit of that. I assume they boat. I'm going to text him.
I would say for Animal Kingdom, great way to take a midway break is to not go there.
Just show up at noon?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. There's some good tips. Terry, you got anything else?
I've taken the train around just... Well, that's when it's raining, and you know it's like just going over, hop on the train, ride around a couple times. Train stops.
I see. She took mine. I usually do Hall of Presidents. Hall of Presidents is. Yeah. I've probably honestly gone to Hall of Presidents as much as I've done almost any attraction at Walt Disney World because I feel like it's almost like every day. And my wife and I get like way too into it and like start crying. It's bizarre. Don't go.
And we talked about earlier in the show. It's a small world. You know, yeah. By the time you wait in line and actually ride the ride, that's a pretty decent break.
Oh yeah. It's so 16 minutes
after all.
All right. I think we answered Kathy's question.
Kathy and go.
Mr. Weaves.
Yeah. Matthew Maloney wants to know what's the best time to ride Seven Dwarfs Mine Train that isn't park opening or closing. Mm.
So generally it's right around meal times, so especially like 12:30 to roughly 2 o'clock, and then also dinner. So anything after like let's say 7 p.m. to 6:30 to 7:30 p.m. Something like that. Also during the parade. So if you're only there in the afternoon, you want to go during the middle of lunch. If you're there in the early evening, then right after or right at dinner time is the best time to go.
Well, there you go. I think that probably answers that because I think Lynn would know better than we do.
Yeah.
If you're not, if you're not a kid, you're going to be waiting way too long for something you're going to be disappointed with, in my opinion. It is cool, but it's not that cool.
Next question's from Erica Barthel.
I don't get a question.
No, we're going backwards now.
Oh, it's going down back, Terry, then back. Okay, got it. Okay, go ahead.
Just like that. Okay. Erica Barthel.
Could explain that earlier.
If I participate in online check-in and I'm using the Touring Plans Room Finder fax request, will it decrease my chance of getting the room request that gets faxed?
No, it won't. Just don't make another request during online check-in. Especially don't make something that conflicts with your original request. So just do the check-in without doing another room type. If you do both, it tends to confuse the people who are doing the room assignments.
I'm going
to
try that. I've never used your room request option because I don't typically stay on property. But this next time, I'm maybe just going down with my boy. And if I go down just with him, I'm going to try it out and see what happens. I want to feel the experience.
All I want to do is get to Tagalog 3952 or whatever.
Why are you not on your station?
I got an email from someone last week who actually got it.
Oh, congratulations.
Good for them. They've got they got my tattoo. My tattoo room.
That's the new rule. If someone does get it and you found out about it because of this show, you have to get a tattoo and I will pay for it.
You have to get a tattoo.
That person or I do? Will.
No. The person.
Will
who
does get a tattoo.
Oh, Will does. Okay, Will does.
No, Will can just get like another mark, you know, like a stick, like, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and you get to the fifth one, you cross it off.
Okay, we'll go with that one.
I was going to say,
let's do that. Let's start with that and see what happens.
Okay.
Great. My wife has just banned me from being on this show anymore. I just got a text message. Oh, well. It's weird.
She's like, man, Tungalau just means I love you in Polynesian. all right.
Wow.
Wow. Come on now.
Hey, Gary, right. You want to take this next one? Skip Logan.
Okay, fine.
I'm just kidding. Logan, you go.
Well, I'm probably the one who can answer this. Recently, Amber Bramble says December will be our first time flying with a toddler. Any tips? I do this all the time, and I have not done it with the twins yet, but with Riker, my son is 3.5, and it depends obviously of when, how toddlery they are. If we're talking past infant. iPhone holder toddler, then give them a phone. They do sell kids headphones that are really actually great for not just they can hear like whatever game or movie they're watching. It kind of helps with the noise, and the noise can't, they're not noise canceling, but they help with that and kind of help with the pressure.
But they're also safe for not damaging their hearing.
Yeah, they don't like go over a certain height or a certain frequency. That's and they have Disney ones. Like Riker has a Mickey Mouse pair. And he really likes them because they're branded, and also it sounds pretty good. It doesn't go over a certain decibel. Also helps with the noise. Food, snacks, especially stuff they can chew or drink.
If they have allergies, just go ahead and give them a Benadryl.
Yeah.
Go ahead and give it to them.
I didn't say that. Will did.
Have kids, so that's not from personal experience.
Stuff that can keep them because they're pretty sensitive. Kids, toddlers can be pretty sensitive to the pressure. So... there's a lot of options. You can Google it, find lots of ways. We've kind of found, just make sure there's a drink handy that they can go to town on. And also, if, you know, snacks, something they can chew. You know, just the same kind of techniques you do, except for it's harder to explain to them why the pain is happening. So you have to kind of work that way. Entertain them, though. Or plan it perfectly at nap time.
Thanks,
those
Amber.
Are my tips.
Thanks, Amber Bramble.
Any thoughts, Lynn? Because you're the only little dad here.
Yeah, I like the idea of handing them a phone or something. The last time when Hannah was a toddler, it was pre-iPad, so we couldn't do that. But we did bring DVD players.
Yeah, same kind of thing. Just entertain. Yeah,
make your children learn how to do Sudoku at three.
And then it's just in the back of that like Delta in-flight magazine, so you're all good. Like, you don't even have to ring anything.
You're fine. Also, it will probably take them forever.
Give them a pin and have them circle everything at Sky Mall they want for Christmas. And then what would be fun is at the end of it, add up what that total will be. And I'm just curious where it goes.
$1 billion.
I wanted the sumo wrestler table. I wanted the zombie hand coming out.
Love the Lord of the Rings special edition ring.
Okay, those are our tips.
I'll say this.
Okay.
My wife, when she was growing up, her and her sister always were allowed by their parents to pack their own little backpack that they got to put. It was their responsibility. They taught them at an early age. Yeah. So they learned to pack the things that they love. And they could put whatever they want to. you know, crayons or their favorite toys or whatever, and it had to fit in that.
Yeah. So depending on how old your toddler is. That
pro tip on that one. Make sure you look through it so that you're not stopped at security.
I brought...
There's a Bowie knife in here.
I didn't hear you say knife. All I heard was there's Bowie in here. I was like, they're packing David Bowie vinyl. There's a copy of Labyrinth on a Blu-ray.
This is legitimately the most off the rails.
Well, I think we give real answers. All right, moving on. I guess I don't get to... Who
I guess go, this is fine.
No. Go now we Terry, go now. Back to you.
Oh, yeah, back to me again. No, just go to Terry this time.
What happened? All right.
Stephanie Taggart asks, any recommendations for traveling with a child with autism using DAS and TP? So
touring plans and it's not disability assistance pass, but something like that. Okay. It's like the guest assistance pass. I'll find out what exactly that acronym is.
We're traveling with my 9-year-old son with autism, my 7-year-old daughter, my husband, my father, and in-laws. My son's not crazy about fast rides. He thinks Barnstormer was fast last time we went with the GAC in 2013.
The guest assistance pass. This was a guest assistance card. It's now the disability access service card. Is what it's
any help.
So it works like a Fastpass Plus. Any of the attractions that have Fastpass Plus will accept the DAS. And I think the latest version of My Disney Experience will actually show you what you've got queued up for your DAS access. Yeah. So so it works exactly the same way. The basic idea is that if you're using it for a touring plan, just assume that you'll have Fastpass for all of those things. So in the section on your touring plan where you can enter the fact that you'll have a Fastpass, just assume that you've got one there and it'll actually take care of it for you.
Yeah, the main thing is I've used both. And look, the guest assistance card was great and that was abused a lot. But the reason I started using it is my wife, I don't think she'd ever probably be saying anything I've said it before, has decent like anxiety issues, like social anxiety, but also just, you know, people touching her and all that. It really messed with her. We went to Disneyland, had a horrible experience, like a legit panic attack experience, and someone at guest services said you should go talk to them about, or someone said go to guest services cast member and tell them your issue, and they gave her the guest assistance card. That used to be you literally walked straight on fast pass like everywhere. It was not, which was cool because it did make you feel like, all right, I have an issue with this, but they're almost doing something special. But because of that got you taken away. There was like a lawsuit with a bunch of families saying that this new version wasn't fair. They lost. I'm kind of on the fence because I do think I've been with now with her, and I've also been with kids who've had this issue. And yeah, it's still though. You go over to your area, I believe, unless this has changed, Lynn. Go to the attraction. They write on a card or something like that, or maybe they put it in the app now and says, "Yes, you have access at this time. So come back in 2 hours if it's that." Well, then you still have 2 hours to figure out, you know, what you're doing. For my wife, that's not an issue. But for some of these kids who have some of these issues, you know, I don't love that version. Universal's been doing that way for years. I understand it's the most fair version, but I don't know if it's the most effective version of people that need it.
Yeah, I think the group of people that it leaves out are kids on the spectrum and adults on the autism spectrum, because it's that waiting time. There's just, they don't understand.
Right.
And so I wish the folks at Disney would come up with a little bit better solution.
Yeah, and they can't...
Without people abusing it, and I guess that's the
problem.
What's
unfortunate is that people have always and will always try to find a way to abuse
Game
it.
Game the system, yeah.
And it's, abuse
when,
this one.
When I was growing up in the area, it used to be all you had to do is be in a wheelchair.
Everyone got
And so everyone just rent a wheelchair. And it's like, people, come on now. Like, let's not do this. Let's not ruin it for people that are...
Genuinely need it.
And this may be their only time they ever get to go to Disney. So let them have a good time and enjoy it without screwing it up for everybody.
And some of that's because Disney can't act, like they can kind of, and look, I'll be honest with you. I've been in a situation where, you know, because the guest assistance card stuff had gotten out of hand, they were kind of abrasive towards thinking you were telling the truth or not. And it was a little offensive. And those kind of issues had happened to us where it felt like, well, okay, so typically we bring it back. A lot of times we brought it back, like keep the one you get. So next year when you come, be like, I was issued this last year. Here's the issue. And that may help the issue. Heck, even waiting that guest services line can be tough. Just be aware of the situation and know that it's the best possible scenario you can have. But you really utilize Fastpass Plus. I'll be honest with you. We don't even really use it anymore. We really go straight to Fastpass Plus and try to get as many of those because it's essentially the same thing. You know, so that's an answer there right there, hopefully for you. If you have any other follow-ups, feel free to message us and I'll happily keep it going. All right, that's going to do it for this week of WDW Today. Special thanks, obviously, to Mr. Testa and to the band Off Kilter, the greatest band in podcasting. They got their CD release party coming up real soon. You can find out all that information. Of course, they're going to be joining us at De Las Puertas Festival. Find out all about that at offkilter.net and, of course, DLP Fest for our event. Also, thanks to our presenting sponsor, Off to Neverland Travel. Terrific folks. Go to neverland.com to find out all the information there. All right. That's going to do it for today's show. I'm Logan Seculo.
I'm Will Haynes.
I'm Terry Weaver.
I'm Len Testa.
All right. We'll talk to you on the next show. Father Roven dies hard.